In the same way, he wants us to be aware, paying attention to the fact that he will return in his glory to establish his promised kingdom here on earth. Now, one of the things that when we're looking at 16 and 17, it's Jesus telling his disciples that he needed to die. And in many ways, they really didn't get it, even through his death and his resurrection, and they were beginning to understand it as he was ascended into heaven. And we have the benefit of just about 2,000 years of history and the Bible fully written out for us, which is something they didn't have. And many of the disciples were not willing to accept that. But so that we may encourage others to believe, trust in Jesus and what he's done, and Jesus being risen from the grave, and which grants us hope that we may live with him eternally in heaven. Go ahead and go to the next one. But the objective is, or what I want, is the disciples at the time of Jesus was discipling them had a hard time believing that Jesus had to die. And sometimes we have, and the world has, or doesn't want to believe that Jesus is returning. And I'm not going to go into exactly what's this all takes place, but here in chapter 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair. It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. Pay attention. Be attentive to Scripture. Be observing and aware of the world around you. The Pharisees and the Sadducees should not have needed a sign. Neither should you. Because Jesus gave a sign, a prophecy, something to look for. The sign of Jonah prophesies in the Bible. The sign of Jonah is the sign he gave. Prophecies in the Bible often had a current time period fulfillment and a reference to the future events. How familiar are you with the book of Jonah? That's just a question. It isn't that signs aren't here to be seen. Just like the Pharisees were familiar with the book of Jonah, and there are actually several signs there that could be, but one of the biggest and most obvious to many people in that day and the Pharisees is when Jesus rose after 3 days, it should have alerted them to that a prophecy had been fulfilled. And that was a current time fulfillment of a prophecy. Now, I'm not going to go into other prophecies from the book of Jonah that also point to this time that we're living in today, but there is generally that current time fulfillment also. You want to be aware of prophecies because it isn't that signs aren't here to be seen. The Bible is full of signs. But are we attentive enough to recognize them? We need to strengthen our trust in Jesus and prepare ourselves and others for his promised return. For more about signs of the times, join us for Bible study in the office after the service this week and next week. We will be looking at Matthew 24 and 25 over the next couple weeks. Because it's right on the schedule. And God is always on schedule. Matthew, continuing. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They discussed among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring bread." It is actually larger up there than it is up here, I guess. Be attentive, and I apologize for that. Be attentive to what Jesus is saying, not to your hunger or thirst. Ask yourself, what are my current desires and thoughts? Am I attending to what's being said? The disciples in the boat just simply were distracted. And it's easy to get distracted. Are we attending? When we're reading, I know how easy sometimes when I'm reading the Bible in the morning or as I'm preparing, it's easy to get distracted by other things that are going on. And so know where your thoughts are, where your desires are. Continue. Go ahead to the next one. Aware of their discussion, Jesus.
Let's see, this maybe needs to be moved up a little more.
Is that better?
Nope. I'll just hold it.
There we go. Aware of their discussion, Jesus said, "You of little faith, why are you talking amongst yourselves about having bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it that you don't understand that I'm not talking to you about bread, but be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Pay attention to God's faithfulness to provide and to guide through the Holy Spirit and Scripture, through history and our own lives. The yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were focused more on themselves and the law, their authority, their interpretations, and their traditions. The church is also infected with the same yeast today, as every institution, philosophy, religion, and worldview that's been created by humans. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with science, a philosophy, a different religion like Islam or Buddhism or other things. They're all infected with the fact that we are more focused quite often on ourselves and what we think than on what God is saying. And so, again, that focus on where the Lord is at. The difference between the world's views and philosophies of life and God's design for our salvation is that the Jews and the Israelites were chosen by God to be a sign and an example to the world of God's faithfulness and power. The church also was instituted by God to carry out the Great Commission, bringing the good news of Jesus and the salvation he wrought and will be completed by the work of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and go to the next slide. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." There are many in the world today who do not or will not recognize Jesus for who he is. Be attentive, discerning. The people you are acquainted with, or meat, do they not know, or do they refuse to acknowledge who Jesus is? Be attentive to people and where they're at in their relationship with Christ. It's interesting. One of the things when I was studying at the University of Wisconsin, it was in one of my philosophy classes, and I don't know if you'll find it in philosophy classes today since that was the 80s, but Nietzsche and Sigmund Freud. Nietzsche was a big philosopher in the late 1800s, and Freud was he was a psychologist. But both of them got together and they agreed that the Bible was the best description of mankind ever written. That it had the best description telling people where they're at and what their problems are. But both of them also agreed, and I would agree with them on this point, is that the Bible is the best description of humanity and its problems of any book ever written. But both Nietzsche and Freud thought that and told people that they would not accept a God that would rule over them, and that we needed to write a new narrative of humanity that does not include God. And the sad thing is, I believe we've been doing that in many ways. But again, one of the things that we're told about this time is that deception will be there, and we just again need to be attentive. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, of Hades, will not prevail, will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. We also are and can be blessed by the Father. Now, just for this, Simon was a fisherman, and his father was not bait. Thought maybe you needed a bad dad joke. His father was Jonah, but he didn't know the whales like the first Jonah did. Pay attention to the promises to the church. The order of his disciples is rescinded by the Great the order to his disciples at the end not to tell anyone. I'm sorry. Then he ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The order to his disciples was rescinded by the Great Commission. We are to tell people that he is the Messiah. But at the time, because of his purpose, at that time, he was requesting them not to. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Be attentive to Satan's subtle influences in our lives. Pay attention, especially when you're concerned. Peter was concerned. Jesus was his friend. He certainly didn't want him to die. So it's a time when we're vulnerable. ask, are my concerns godly, a deception, or merely human? Just something we want to focus on. When we're concerned about something, is it something from God? Is it something that we're being deceived about, a deception either from the world or the devil, or is it simply in my own mind? Pay attention and be attentive, because there are influences that would try to deceive us. Then Jesus said to the disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some of you standing here will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Pay attention to the objectives and goals you set for your life. Do they align with God's goals and plans? Are you allowing God to be involved in those objectives and goals? Be attentive to where your heart is. Yield to the Holy Spirit. And this ends with another prophecy. After 6 days, Jesus took, we're going to chapter 17 now. After 6 days, Jesus took him with him, Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and they led him up the high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If we wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Another prophecy fulfilled. They saw Jesus in his kingdom glory. That's the prophecy being fulfilled just a few days later, encouraging them. Be attentive to what you say. You may get interrupted. Peter again was speaking quickly. It's easy to do that sometimes, just to speak. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face downward on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When he looked up, he saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Pay attention when you get interrupted. Be attentive to what's said when you're interrupted. Be prepared to receive instruction from the Lord or the Holy Spirit. God does speak through clouds here, through others, Scripture, and the Holy Spirit. Don't be offended when you're interrupted. There may be a reason for it. Be attentive. The disciples asked him, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, be sure Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Be attentive. Ask questions. Pay attention to the answer. You may receive insight and understanding. And here is the disciples were starting to understand by recognizing the role of John the Baptist. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus, knelt before him, "Lord, have mercy on your son." He said, he has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Pay attention when criticized or confronted. The disciples were disappointed probably because they couldn't heal him. They were also probably disappointed when the man approached Jesus and said, "Your disciples aren't doing what they've done before." But if we're criticized or confronted, be attentive. Seek mercy and be persistent like the man was. He still continued to approach Jesus. Because Jesus is still the one that heals and delivers. And so we can't be disappointed just because it doesn't go the way we think that it should or might. But if someone criticizes us for our attempts, again, just be aware, what's the Lord saying? Also, don't be insulted or angered when our weaknesses are revealed. Because God is strong in our weaknesses. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive him out?" And he replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Now, some of your Bibles may not have this next verse, but this kind does not go out except through prayer and fasting. Again, be attentive, ask questions, learn, seek help and understanding. Go to the Lord, pray. Gain confidence in your authority that we have in Christ. Because he will use us. Next slide. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. Pay attention. We need to hear and speak the truth, even if it isn't what we want to hear, what others want to hear. Jesus was telling them the truth. It was needed. They needed to understand. And we need to understand that he needed to die. We are fallen creatures. And we need the salvation that he bought for us on the cross. And also, that he is rising. Jesus is making it very clear that he must die. Also tells them he will be raised to life. Our hope for a future. The Bible also makes it very clear that Jesus will return in glory. He wasn't finished when he came the first time. But what he did was very important to set the stage, because he will rule over a righteous kingdom. Our sins are forgiven and paid for. We can, as it says elsewhere in the Bible, be holy for I am holy. But it's only through Christ that we are able to be holy. After Jesus and his disciples arrived at Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" And Peter says, "Yes, of course he does. Yes, he does." When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the children are exempt." Jesus said to them, "But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake, throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Be attentive that your pride about your pride." Even though Peter was proud of his leader, of his master, Jesus, and he was also bragging, and he was speaking in pride, it may bring on more responsibility. You may have to go fishing. Be attentive to the Lord's provision. One of the things that this shows is his provision. We are called to pay taxes in this world. It's just part of being in the world. And the Lord does not tell us not to pay taxes, but he also will provide the things that we need. The last slide. Jews and Israelites were chosen by God to be a sign or an example to the world of God's faithfulness and power. The church was instituted by God to carry out the Great Commission, bringing the good news of Jesus and the salvation he wrought into the whole world. This will be accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will participate. Israel and the Jews are both powerful signs to us and the world today of God's faithfulness to the covenant he made with Abraham. The fact that Israel is a nation today, the fact that the Jews have a better, even though there many of them are it's the only place in the Middle East where the LGBT community is even welcomed. Everywhere else, they're in trouble and actually could lose their lives if they are too vocal. But that's not the issue. There's nothing necessarily special about the Jews except for the fact that he chose them. And there's nothing especially special about us except that he wants us to be with him. It's his desires, not ours. Nietzsche and Freud desired not to be with God. And the sad thing is, he may honor them in that, or probably will, unless they change their mind after the time of whatever they wrote, if they were going to not accept having God as their Lord and Savior, he's going to grant them their wish, even though they don't know what they're asking for. Now, God's faithfulness to the Jews and his restoring them as a nation, because that was promised, and his blessing them, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I'm in tears about this Nobel Peace Prize that's being reported out there. I mean, do they really believe that honoring people that rape people with the Nobel Peace Prize is going to solve any problems? I mean, there's problems on both sides whenever you have a conflict. But that's not a place for the Nobel Peace Prize. But the neat thing is, the Nobel Prizes, although they've been a great thing in the past, I mean, they've honored a lot of very good people and institutions. The fact that Israel is less than 1% of the population of the world, they have received, and if you look out through history, Jews have done marvelous things throughout history. They've received, I believe it's 15 or 16% of all Nobel Peace Prizes in the last 130 years or whatever it's been. God is working through them. And he has blessed the nation, just like he said, through Abraham. All the nations are blessed. Again, these are signs that are confirmed today. We can look at Israel and we can look at history and say God has been there. Even though they may try to write him out of it, it's still there. He is. This gives the church, Christ's body, us, confidence that the Great Commission will be completed by his power through the Holy Spirit. And the Great Commission, I mean, it's amazing. The church in itself is amazing. Only through the church and through what's called Western civilization, because that's essentially been tied somewhat to the church in different ways, not always perfectly, but it's still there. But, I mean, one of the things that people don't know, that almost two-thirds of the nations that are in the UN, slavery is still legal. The only place it's been destroyed or been made illegal, it hasn't been destroyed, is in places that have been influenced by the Christian church. And thing is, again, when you look at history and different things in a true sense, again, you see God's hand, not man's hand, but it's God's hand. A slave can become a child of God, and many slaves have, as easily as anyone else in the world. It's sometimes harder for a billionaire, but he also uses them. Abraham would have probably been considered quite rich. He was at that time. God blessed him, and he has blessed the world through him. Another sign is that the first command given to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and fill the earth, some people believe it's been completed. There is a big group of people out there that believe that the population of the world should be a half a billion people, which would mean they would have to get rid of 15/16 of the people that are here. The interesting thing also in looking at this is I found a guy that said the earth could sustain, and I forget, I can't pronounce the number, but it's a 1 followed by 63 zeros people, which means that's a trillion to the fifth power times 1,000. And we aren't anywhere close to a trillion people yet. Now, both of those people I might disagree with, and I'm not sure exactly how he came about with it, other than it was there. I found it in an article that was comparing different that at one point. But the thing that I want to put away today is we want to be attentive. The Lord is working in our world. He is coming. And by the signs that we have, it's not going to be that long. And, well, I need to close. Then just simply say, Lord, help us to understand and to see how you're working through us and in this world. Help us, Lord, to see truly that throughout history you have been there and you are faithful. And thank you, Lord, for blessing this congregation and our world. Again, we just lift our world up. We lift up our nation. We lift up Israel. We lift up the Middle East, all of it, Lord, because all of it, you want all of it to acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. And that time will come when every knee will bow. But Lord, I know your desire is that every knee would be in heaven with you. And we also grieve with you that there will be some that won't. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name.